This spring, follow what feels right, like coasting the day away on white sand beaches, making new friends with playful dolphins, taking time for each other in a relaxing place. It just feels right to take a break in Fort Myers. Book a direct flight from your city to Southwest Florida International Airport. Plan your trip to the islands, beaches, and neighborhoods of Fort Myers at visitfortmyers.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, Trump is due to be inaugurated on the 20th of January, and we're wondering, will this have any effect in the conflict in the Middle East? Of course, on a daily basis, I think we're up to 45,000 people in Gaza killed. 17,000 children, really horrific situation. And is there any end in sight? Well, it's a pleasure to welcome Duncan Bullivant, who's CEO of the Henderson Risk Limited, and they do risk management advisory consultancy to companies and has deep insights into these conflicts. Happy New Year to you, Duncan.
And a Happy New Year to you too, Ivan.
They still haven't found any of the hostages, the Israeli hostages. When can we see, if you look into your crystal ball, some change in the situation in Gaza?
The next election, parliamentary elections in Israel, are scheduled for October 26. And between now and then, Prime Minister Netanyahu is going to play a balancing act of some proportions. So for him, the continuation of the conflict and his stated aims of giving the Houthis a drubbing is his game. And his opinion ratings in Israel are higher than they were a year ago. And this is a winning formula for him. So to answer your question directly, there is no real value politically to Netanyahu to wind up operations in Gaza at this point, because it still carries considerable support within the electorate in Israel. That said, international concerns, which have been there right from the beginning, and Israel's reputation from a humanitarian point of view, are somewhat in the gutter at the moment. And he has to balance that against the incoming Trump administration, who will probably, I would have thought, be putting pressure on him to clean up their act. And the whole Gaza situation, which we have been watching with incredulity and horror over the last couple of years, the situation has got to change on the ground, and it has to change rapidly, because it is now getting to a point, I think, where people are sort of, even Israel's most fervent supporters, are pulling their hair out and saying this has got to end now.
Can you explain to me why it is that the EU and the US has been so supportive of Israel, from the point of view that Ireland has been an outlier in recognising the state of Palestine, of calling for ceasefires, but the majority of the big players in Europe are not so minded? Is it because of guilt of the Holocaust? Is it because of the power of the Jewish community in the US corporate boardrooms? Why do you think it is, in the face of horrors of hospitals being bombed, children being collateral damage, and unbelievable sustained attack on a civilian population, that people have stood so foursquare behind Israel?
I think the underlying issue here is that, despite their best efforts, the Hamas propaganda machine, of which we're all part and privy, the Hamas propaganda machine, the fact that Hamas habitually use human shields, the fact that Hamas will habitually place its headquarters in hospitals, leading to these attacks, which, and I, you know, the rights and the wrongs of that are not necessarily going to answer your question, but the fact that Hamas is a deeply cynical organization and somewhat psychopathic organization is well known in the capitals of the world, and consequently they have to balance their response. I think secondly, Israel is still seen as a beacon of stability in a very, very unstable region, even more unstable.
Head to Whole Foods Market to jumpstart your January during our New Year boosting event with savings on feel-good favorites store-wide. Save on organic picks, wellness staples, and more all month long.
Well, now, of course, since Assad left office, and that is a major concern. But I think the real issue, to be honest with you, the real issue over the last 2 years has been incompetence and the inability of the EU to have a grown-up policy towards this situation, because they offer nothing to Netanyahu. What is it that they're going to provide to help him to contain the Hamas situation? The answer is nothing, because at the end of the day, the EU talks itself up, but it has no divisions. It has no military capacity. NATO is still the leading military force in Europe. And so the EU has really very little to offer. The US, on the other hand, and yes, the Jewish lobby is very strong in the United States, but the US has a vested interest in Israel's survival at all costs, because over the hill they see the specter of Iran. So I think you're looking at vested interests throughout this entire sort of strand of the last 2 years, vested interests, an inability to act, and also Netanyahu has got the whip hand. You know, he's capable of acting in a way that we find completely abhorrent and completely mystifying in many ways, because a lot of European and Western leaders have never acted with such pragmatism and such aggression in the face of these threats. And we're sort of kind of forgetting what war looks like in many ways. It's always a long way away from us. It's something that there are very few consequences for us. But for Netanyahu and for the Israelis, it's very close to them, and there are very significant consequences if this war goes the other way. So I think to answer your question again, the issue here is not as simple as the Jewish lobby or Holocaust, you know, guilt. And bearing in mind that Germany's constitution fully supports the Jewish state, that is an historic fact. It's the facts on the ground are that neither the EU nor the United States have any interest in seeing the Israeli government weakened. And okay. So they've had to get in behind Netanyahu, come what may.
The other new development in the latter half of last year was the regime change in Syria, the fall of the Assad regime. And it seemed to me that Iran and Russia kind of said, you're on your own, and it folded like a cheap suit. The change in Syria and the impact that has or doesn't have on the Middle East conflict.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. I think we need to call this for what it is, and this is a Turkish adventure. This entire flip of the regime in Syria was Turkish inspired, Turkish prepared, and Turkish led. The issue now in Syria is stability. And whilst everybody is leaning in and holding their breath and hoping that there's going to be an Islamist regime in Syria that is somehow moderate and somehow respecting human rights, it remains to be seen, because it'd be the first time in history that has actually taken place. The real issue now in Syria is what happens to the Kurds, because in many ways the Kurds are the US proxy in the region. The Kurds are holding thousands of ISIS prisoners in camps on their territory, and the United States is openly supportive of the Kurdish regions. Now, the Turks are not allies of the Kurds; in fact, very much the opposite. So let's just see how that plays out. With regard to Iran, Iran has now lost its major regional ally in Syria. The Israelis are about to start bombing the Houthis with some vigor, and is based on Israeli-led intelligence and US-supported intelligence, it will actually probably roll the Houthis back considerably as a military force. So the Iranians will now feel threatened. And the big concern, I think, with the Iranians is, although on paper it might not be a bad thing for the Iranians to be less capable and less able to influence the region, because at the end of the day, they're far from democratic and far from reasonable, the real issue now is if the Iranians feel threatened, Will they speed up their nuclear weapons program because they feel that this is what they have to do now to balance the power against Israel? And if that is the case, will the Israelis, at their leisure, because the Israelis have already destroyed the Iranian air defense system, will the Israelis go to the next level, which is to take out the Iranian nuclear weapons program by air and by missile, which is very much on the cards? So I think these are the issues that are going to sort of dominate this year. And I said the backdrop to all this really with Netanyahu is he doesn't have to face the electorate until almost 18 months, 2 years into 2026. So I think watch the Iranian space with regard to the nuclear development and nuclear proliferation. That's the big story here.
Okay. My thanks to Duncan Bulavant, always with invaluable insights into international geopolitics and conflict, CEO of the Henderson Group. Thank you for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Head to Whole Foods Market to jumpstart your January during our New Year Boosting event with savings on feel-good favorites store-wide. Save on organic picks, wellness staples, and more all month long.